Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. It is such an honor to proclaim the gospel to you. Thank you for inviting me into your home. I wanted to share with you John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be." It was the Last Supper. Jesus was in the midst of probably the worst moment of his life. He's about to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's about to be crucified, and he's telling his disciples, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Then he's talking about hope. He's talking about the mansions in heaven that he's going to come again to take them to. And so it occurs to me that in the midst of whatever trouble you may be having in your life, or whatever turmoil, whatever difficulties, there's always hope. And that's what buoys up your heart. You have to cling to hope. And that's what Jesus offers us. The Bible talks about we have a living hope. There are three things that last forever: faith, love, and hope. So hope is alive. And again, if you're in turmoil, if you're going through some tribulations and you have some difficulties in your life right now, and Jesus had them, he's at the Last Supper. He's about to go into the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat blood in emotional turmoil. And then, of course, be held overnight and then be brought to the crucifixion and be tortured to death. And Jesus is offering us hope in the midst of all that. And then he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." You know, it seems to me we allow our hearts to be troubled. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be lying there in bed and I've got so much going for me, but I'll concentrate on the negative. I'll think about the events that I have coming up. I'll accentuate things in the negative more than I need to. I'll be thinking about the stresses of life, and I'll be lying there and I'll go, "Cedric, why don't you just think about God and give thanks and praise God for the gift of life and all the good things you have in your life. Don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive." And I think that's what Jesus meant. He said, "Don't let your heart run away from you. Don't let it be troubled. Don't focus on the negative." And we can have a tendency to do that, but there's also a way to focus on the positive. You have to tell yourself, you have to make that decision. Just read a book by an author named Jenny Allen. She's got a lot of great books, especially for women. And it's called Get Out of Your Head. And Jenny talks about the spiral of anxiety and negativity that we can often get into. It's like a vortex. And you know, your mind can just go that way and you get stuck in it. And then she keeps emphasizing in her book over and over again, you have a choice. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't focus on the negative. Bring yourself to the positive. That's what hope is. There's something good in the future. And that's what Jesus was saying on this last night of his life. He was focusing on hope. He was focusing on what lies ahead. He was making promises to his disciples about the many mansions and how he's going to come again and take them there. So whatever it is in your life, you can find hope. Whatever difficulties you're going through, there's always hope. And you've always heard that saying, there is a silver lining in every cloud. And talking about a cloud, this series is called Real Life, Real Issues. And I'm trying to hit the issues that are affecting people's lives, like anxiety and fear and impatience and all the turmoil and the trouble that people get into. Well, talk about real life. Right now, as I'm filming this, and probably as you're watching it, we are in the midst of a pandemic, the COVID virus. And it's been happening for a while now, but it's not going away very quickly. And some states have started reopening, and even in the reopening, spiking is occurring again. So now they're talking about having to close things again. And then in the midst of all this pandemic, there was a situation with George Floyd and the murder of George Floyd. And it happened right in front of all of our eyes, happened right on national TV. And the protests that are occurring, the riots that have occurred. And so there's a lot of turmoil going on in our society right now, apart from our individual lives, the context of it, and it's making people anxious, making them worried, making them troubled. And that's why Jesus said, in the midst of the different things that we go through, don't concentrate on all the negatives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. So let's get back to the pandemic here, because we're talking about real life and this is what's going on. First of all, at this airing, over 5 million people in the world have contacted this virus. And in the United States, over 110,000 people have died from this virus. And the projections are it's going to get worse. One of my friends has a mother who caught a fever, and he began getting so upset and so tense and so bent out of shape because she had this fever. He thought she got the virus. And he said, "Father, it was like a cloud. It was like a fog in my life. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't help but focus on it." Well, thanks be to God, she didn't get the virus, and she is getting better. But that's kind of the way people are right now. It's like they're living under a fog. People are oppressed and burdened. And Jesus gives us that beautiful saying, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And let me say this, the peace that Jesus gives is a tranquility. It's a serenity. It's an inner calm and well-being, a strength. It's like water that runs off a duck's back. Even when things hit you, you're able to stand strong. I have a picture of a bird that I really like. He's got his head bent and the water's coming at him. This storm is hitting him, but yet he audaciously and fiercely and courageously stands there as that water hits him. And it's the same way in our life. You know, we can't stop the storms from coming, but we can be strong and unshakable and courageous because of our faith. So that's the peace that Jesus, that's the peace that Jesus had. It's not a peace that the world can give, he said, but it's a peace that he had that enabled him, empowered him, peace from God, to face his own passion. And we all have difficulties in our life. So anyway, the pandemic, let's get back to that. So over 30 million people in the United States, 30 million people out of work, unemployment lines, huge, food lines, long. The economy was so strong before this happened, and all of a sudden now it's tanked. The world has changed in the course of 2 months. Actually, the world changed in the course of 1 month. Stock market plunged. Churches, restaurants, health clubs closed, now starting to reopen cautiously. I live at a retreat center. We had our first retreat about a week ago, 30 people. We had to spread them all out. Finally, we're doing some reopening, but cautiously. Each state has its own jurisdiction. Some are opening quicker than others. And as I said, the time of this filming, 20 states have seen a spike in the virus cases again. So we got to be careful about all that. Sports has stopped. It's starting to reopen. For example, I'm an avid golf fan, and what's golf without fans? Well, you can watch on TV, but you can't go to the event because people are afraid you're going to get the virus. And then, of course, casinos were closed and health clubs, as I said. And state by state, businesses and churches are beginning to reopen. But there's a danger in that. The travel industry was hit really hard. Cruise ships, airplanes, going bankrupt. The United States has had to give them millions, if not billions of dollars to keep them going. And of course, the stimulus checks has really helped a lot of people, as well as the PPP program helping small businesses. So this pandemic has changed life as we know it. Then they talk about something called quarantine fatigue. There's been isolation, especially elderly people have been quarantined because they're more susceptible. And what's been really hard for people is not only can you not shake hands, you can't hug because the virus is being spread, especially by close contact and breath. So the ability to touch each other, to touch friends, has been taken away. It's especially important in church, because in church we used to have the hug of peace, in the communion we come close to each other. So churches, it's become very difficult. So it's been a hardship on many people. And then quarantine fatigue has to do with teaching your own children at home. Everybody's together in the one environment and trying to teach the children. It's been very stressful, very hard for people. And there has been a fatigue, even though you're not running around and traveling, there's been a fatigue just being home. So, you know, I don't mean to aggrandize the suffering, but the pandemic and then the racial tensions, it's been very difficult. It's been very hard. And in the midst of all this trouble and turmoil and whatever you've got going on in your life, health problems, relationship problems, addictions, and by the way, because of the pandemic, addictions have rose in all kinds of percentages, just blowing off the face of the map because of this pandemic. And in the midst of all this swirl of different things, we hear the voice of Jesus, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Don't let your hearts be troubled." And then he talks about hope. So there's been many negatives in the pandemic, and I tried to paint that with a little brush, but there's been many positives in the pandemic. And as I said, there is a silver lining in every cloud, so let's look a little bit about that, because this is about hope. So the silver lining, I noticed when I drive somewhere, go to the grocery store, less traffic. And that's kind of a nice thing. Less pollution. I live in Houston, the fourth largest city in America, and the air is cleaner. It's helping the environment. And then gas prices went way down. I mean, I've seen gas prices in Houston down below $1.45.9, which is amazing considering where they were. Then the infrastructure that we have, bridges and roads that are in need of repair, finally they're getting repaired. There's one street that I used to live on in Houston called Westheimer, and it's always so busy with cars, they could never, it was potholes everywhere and it really needed a repair. Now it's brand new. So they've had a chance to do these type things. There may be quarantine fatigue, but families being together, now they're having quality time. And it's important that families bond together. Parents are having time to talk to their children and children to their parents. So that's one of the positives. And you can develop a deep personal relationship with your family as you spend time. I've always heard people say, you know, I don't have time for that, or I'm too busy. Well, the busyness is kind of stopped for a while. And now there's time to do various things, like bonding with your family. So there's quality times. And I noticed in Texas, I'm very pro-life. And in Texas, for a time, abortions were stopped. That's amazing. This pandemic, and I'm not saying that God caused the pandemic, he didn't, but God works through it. God always writes straight with crooked lines. It's amazing. Abortion stopped in Texas for a period of time. Now they've lessened. There's not as many, not just in Texas, but around the United States and probably the world. So think about how many lives are going to be born because of this pandemic, because the abortions have stopped and the families being together. So new life is sprouting forth from this pandemic. And there are other things that have happened too. Some of our idols have been taken away, the attractions that we have, sports on TV, obsessive travel, casinos being closed, attractions have been removed. And this is something that happens in the spiritual life. For example, when you join a monastery, which I have, they don't allow you to have TVs in your room. They're trying to remove the attractions so that you can focus on your first love, which is God. And so in some ways, this has become a monastic moment for everybody. The attractions, the allurements, the addictions, hopefully, have been removed so that you can focus on God. And so there's a lot of positives that have happened. There has been a silver lining in this cloud. I got a letter from a woman in New York, and she said, in my perspective, from what I've seen, people are working on their prayer life. My friends, my relatives are reading, they're reflecting, some are finding God. Think of the conversions that have come. I know one thing, that religious TV has really picked up. People are turning to broadcast media to hear the good news. I know in my own program, people are buying my resources, buying my books, and I'm so glad about that because I want them to be encouraged. I want them to be filled with hope, and especially I want them to come to salvation, to a personal relationship with Jesus. I want people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Think of the people that don't know Jesus that have come to Christ because of the pandemic. They were bored, they were lonely, they had nothing else to do. They turned on the TV program, and they gave their life to Christ, and maybe that's you right now. And I invite you to simply surrender your life to Jesus. He'll take your boredom, he'll take your troubles, and they may not go away, but he'll transform them into something new. And there's always hope, and that's what he's offering us right in the midst of turmoil, right in the midst of problems. So, we serve a God of hope. And I say that because that comes right from the Bible. We serve a God of hope. And in the Bible, God is proclaimed as a God of hope. That's Romans 15, 13. So we can abound in hope. We have a living hope. And I know that because of hope, things can turn around. So how can Jesus say, don't let your heart be troubled? Because there's always hope. Hope lasts forever. And I want you to grab a hold of that right now, even if you're struggling, and especially if you're struggling. So what is hope? Hope is believing that something good lies in your future. I remember the story of Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychologist, psychiatrist, and he was held in a Nazi concentration camp in the Second World War in Nazi Germany. And while he was in the Nazi concentration camp, he saw the worst of the worst. And I mean, it was deplorable conditions. He saw people give up and throw themselves into the electrified fence. And he also saw people give away their bread to help their neighbors, very altruistic. And he discovered, now this is a psychologist, he discovered that the tipping point between giving up and being altruistic was hope. The reason why he survived, he was able not to commit suicide in the midst of all those horrible situations, is because he held out hope for a reunion with his wife. He kept that in his mind. And it was that image of hope that kept him going in the hard times. That's why to serve a God of hope is everything, because we believe that something good is in our future and that the best is yet to come. And those aren't just sentiments. It's not false hope. This is biblical hope. And that's why in the midst of his turmoil, at the worst moment of his life, Jesus is saying, I will come back for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He's telling us that eternal life is on the horizon, and good things are on the horizon for right now. So let me prophesy over you right now. Those of you who are struggling, maybe you're unemployed, maybe you're sick, maybe you do have the virus, or you're going through some hard relationship problems. If you're out of work, I prophesy by the grace of God that you will find a new job. You will experience restoration. And if your business is tanked, I'm believing God right now for your resilience, that something new is going to rise out of this deprivation. And if you're addicted, I'm prophesying over you right now that you're going to come into recovery, that you're going to face your challenges, face your addiction, and come to something new. And if you're down and discouraged because of the times that we're living in, I'm believing God for a new resurgence, that you can mount up with wings like eagles. And if your relationship with God feels empty, especially for that, I'm believing for a new reawakening for you, a revival deep in your heart. I want you to come to eternal life. You see, there's always hope. And in the George Floyd situation, when, you know, the racial tensions that were going on and the protests, it's leading to new legislation. It's leading to the police force coming to new decisions. It's leading to less racism in the United States and hopefully around the world, because really, the world was participating in this whole thing. So yeah, there was tension. There was a murder. There were problems. There were troubles. But it's leading to something good. And that's the thing. God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. It was years ago, I led a pilgrimage to Rome. And one of the places that we went was to the catacombs. And if you know anything about early Christianity, the early Christians were persecuted for their faith, just for believing in Jesus. They were persecuted, and some were martyred. So what they used to do is they used to hide out in the catacombs. Those are those underground tunnels, and they would worship down there. I remember one time I went down into the catacomb of St. Callistus in Rome, and I presided at Mass down there. I had about 30, 40 people with me. And then after Mass, we went and we saw some of the artifacts. There were statues and carvings on the wall. And one of the carvings on the wall that we saw was an anchor carved into the wall. This would have been an early Christian carving it into the wall. And what that anchor was, that was taken right from the Bible, from the book of Hebrews, where it says, we have this hope in Jesus, this hope in the afterlife, this hope in eternal life, of eternal life, as an anchor for our soul. Because the man in the catacomb or the woman in the catacomb was going through persecution, going through turmoil. Who knows all the troubles that they were having? But right in the midst of that, what were they doing? They were clinging to hope. You know what an anchor does? Ship's out there and the storm is coming and the storm buffets the ship and it gets tossed and turned. The anchor holds the ship firm. It strengthens you. It keeps you in the midst of the storm. And that's exactly what hope does. And that's what Jesus offers us. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it go that way. Don't go the way the rest of the world, because you're a believer. He offers us unshakable faith. No storm can shake our inmost calm. I heard about in Nazi Germany, down in the cellar, a Jew that was being held captive carved this into a wall. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when there's no one there. I believe in God, even when he's silent. And I believe through any trial, there is always a way. Wow. Yes, there are trials, there's tribulations, and there's troubles, and there's hardships, there's pandemics, there's racial tension, there's physical problems, there's relationship problems, there's anxieties, there's fears. This is the series I'm proclaiming to you. Real life, real issues. And right in the middle of that, let's split the Red Sea. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Wow. I want you to cling to that. As I open the show, I want you to remember, you have a choice. You have a choice. You don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. Right by my bed, I have a couple things hanging. One is a crucifix. Another is an image of Jesus, a portrait. And right next to that are the ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz. It's a picture of it. And I have that because if you remember at The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy had these ruby slippers. Evil wanted to take the ruby slippers off. And whenever they tried to get them. Whenever the Wicked Witch of the West tried to get the slippers, she couldn't remove them. The only way those slippers could have been taken off was if Dorothy gave her the slippers. Those slippers were what took her home, remember? She clicked them together, I want to go home. That's what took her home. The same way it says in Ephesians 6, put on your shoes of peace. And that's what we're talking about. Peace in the midst of the turmoil. Shoes are walking shoes. They take you home. And the one thing the devil wants to do is get you to take them off. He can't remove them. The only way you can get them off is if you take them off. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't give away your peace. Wear those shoes of peace that Jesus has given you. Even if you don't feel it, trust in it. Jesus is there. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So whatever you're going through right now, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.